Precious Sausage Singer.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Move and shake in here today. Speak to us through your word. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. I'll try again.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior. Has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. One more time. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Praise God. Thank you, brother. Aren't you grateful for all God's done in your life? Here in the meantime, I just want to greet everyone watching us here on Facebook and maybe even those from South Africa. We adjusted some settings so now people from outside the country can watch us, and hope you enjoy the service here today. We're looking more in the sovereignty of God, unconditional election. Okay, we're going to look at the U in TULIP today, which stands for unconditional election. What are we looking at here today? We're looking at how God saves a person. We're looking at God's involvement in the transaction. We're looking at your involvement, if any, in the transaction. Now, I am not a Calvinist by any means, because Calvinists have it all figured out, but I don't. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still changing positions when I got it wrong, even though I've got 1 7/8 PhDs. God still reveals mysteries to me, and I change. The question, He'll do the same for you, but the question is, I say to you what God says to me, and that is, how bad do you want it? He is the great revealer of mysteries. How bad do you want it? That's the question. The way I see it, man has a part in salvation. Hence the word invitation. Why have an invitation if man's got no part in salvation? The Calvinists think that man has no part in it, but he does. They think you're just saved automatically, that you love automatically, like a programmed robot. That on June the 28th year of our Lord, 2020, God flicked a switch on the inside of you, and by golly, you're going to start loving today, whether you like it or not. How does that bring Him any praise? If He's forced you to love Him, you've got the choice to love Him. Granted, I'm not ignorant in what the Word of God says either. We love Him because He first loved us. We're not sweeping nothing under the carpet. Let's spend 25 years into this to try to figure it out, right? We change when we're wrong. Anyone here ever change positions? Hallelujah. What a church full of humble people. Who knows it all? I've changed on major doctrines. Once I understood the sovereignty of God, I changed on the position of if a person can lose their salvation. I used to believe that. But then when I saw that salvation is of the Lord, and I'm not the one that, he does the work, not me. Salvation is of the Lord. Read Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. You won't find the word I in there. You find the word he in there. We'll get to that as we go along. Jesus says this. He says, for many are called, but few are chosen. I love to use my cell phone here to help teach this truth. For those of you, and there's a lot of you here who are new here that have never heard me use this analogy, for everyone else, humor me, please. Many are called. What would you do, or better yet, what are your possible responses if God was to call you on your cell phone? I see the wheels turning over here. See, this is a new glutton for punishment. He's never heard me preach this before. What would you do if your phone rang, if you had God? No, God is great. He superimposed his own number in your phone. You don't have to have him in your contact list. What would you do if your phone rang and you looked and it goes, Jehovah? What would you do? What could you do? What are the various things you could do if Jehovah decided to call you? And the thing is, he's already calling you. He's already calling you. What are your responses when he calls you? What are your possible responses if God rings your number? I can think of four. The first one is send a voicemail. I'm sorry I can't come to the phone right now, Almighty Jehovah, creator of heaven and earth, because I'm a little busy right now. I'll call you back later when I've got the time or when I'm ready to talk to you. And I just love these word pictures of this. This is the perfect understanding for us to get, for many are called, but few are chosen. How do you go from getting to being called to chosen? What do you got to do? What's your second response? My wife can tell you this. I do this to her all the time. She knows I'm on the radio at 2 o'clock on Monday, and she'll call me at 2:01. And she gets this answer, bygone twice a month for 3 years. No offense. If you got a fancy cell phone, you can respond that way. Sorry, I'm busy right now. Or with mine, I pre-programmed it. Sorry, I'm on the air. I'll call you back at a more convenient time. And that's the same way we treat God. We do God the same way as that. God's calling you. He says, come, walk with me. You marvel over Enoch. Come on, let's go. And what do?
Nancy Pelosi's on right now.
I'll talk to you later. That's the choice you want to make. It's the same way we treat God. You're putting him off until later, until some other time. See, God is texting you. He's texting you saying, walk with me. He's texting you saying, choose life. He's texting you saying, return to me. Stop feeding the swine in the field and come back home and we'll slay the fatted calf for you. He's calling you all the time. Get this world out of your ears. See, when God calls you, you got to go to where he talks. Where is he speaking? You hear it on my radio show, what, right? You got to go to where God speaks. Where is he speaking? WGOD. He's speaking in his word. This is where you go to hear God talk. Right here. Return to me, and I will return to you. Your sins will be as scarlet. This is where God speaks to you. This is where you'll hear from him. It's right here in his word. Right here in the church. Right here through me, the messenger. This is where you hear from God. This is why you shouldn't sit at home. You need to come to church, hear from God. The third response is block the caller. Block him. You know, I'm sick and tired of this guy calling me. I block him, that's all. That'll solve all of my problems. I'll just block the caller. Then all will be right. I won't get these disturbing texts anymore. I love you, 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 I love you. For years upon years upon years. Is I love you. And then sooner or later, you get tired of God saying, I love you. So you block him. And then you won't hear him say, I love you anymore. So you block them. God says multitudes are in the valley of decision. And you've got a choice to make when God calls you. You're no robot. It's up to you to choose. Choose this day, as he said in Joshua. Choose this day whom you will serve. Here's the great revelation God gave me last week. I was trying to explain to Ron and others to square both of these positions, that is, of God's election and man's free will. Here's how you square it, okay? Indeed, it's up to you to choose, but your chooser, that is the faith to believe, is a gift and comes from God. That's the answer to this question I put 30 years in trying to figure out. How do you square God's call? Who can refuse God's call? And man's over here's choice of free will. How do you square it? And that is over here, you don't want God without the gift that comes from him. Faith is a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You don't want to be in this position and call on the name of the Lord without him giving it to you. And that's how you square both of these. The unconditional call of God and you responding. And that's why Jesus spoke to them in parables. They says, why do you speak to them in parables? He says, I speak to them in parables so that hearing you will hear and not hear. Seeing you will see and not perceive. He did it deliberately to whittle away everyone that doesn't have faith. He didn't do it so you'd understand. He did it so that those that didn't understand would walk away, and he never went after them. He never chased them. He never said, I'm sorry, I'm so harsh. He didn't say anything. Because those with the gift of faith will respond. Which is answer number four here. The fourth thing to do when God calls your phone is to respond, is to answer the call. Is to answer your call and say, here I am. Same as Isaiah answered the call, right? Here I am. Right, send me. And the funny thing, too, I heard Oswald Chambers always say, he wasn't talking to Isaiah. Isaiah overheard it. He overheard him talking to someone else. How about you? When God calls your proverbial cell phone, that is, let's just cut right to the chase. When God pricks your heart and speaks to your heart and says, stop running, child, I love you. Turn back to me. Though your sins were as scarlet, they will be as white as snow, Isaiah chapter 1. Turn back to me. And that is your answer. Many are called, and few are chosen. The chosen ones are the ones that have the gift of faith and the ones that respond that way positively when God calls you. I've wrestled with that, Darren, for I don't know how many years. Because both are true. The irresistible call of God, but yet man's free choice, and Jesus and God saying, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient people. How do you square the two? How do you square Jerusalem, Jerusalem? How I've longed to gather you together like a hen would gather chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. How do you square that with man's free choice is you're not willing without the gift of faith? That's the answer to the question. Everyone with me? Praise God, we can go home now. That's my message. We haven't even got to the you yet. You. The you is unconditional election. Let me define this. Unconditional election, also known by the name of unmerited favor. That is, God did not choose you because of something you did, or because of something you will do. The debate over unconditional election is not whether or not God elects or predestines people to salvation, but on what basis does he do it? On what basis does he elect people? On what basis does he elect you? Is it based on the foreknowledge of God that you will have faith in the future? Or is it based on God's sovereign choice to elect you? As the word unconditional implies, this view believes God's election of people to salvation is done. Now hear me. God's election of you is done with no strings attached. That's what this doctrine teaches. That's what I believe. It's not based on anything you do. It's not based on how good you are. I used to think that. I used to think if I had a good week Monday through Saturday, I'd have a good sermon here on Sunday. But yet James says, whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point is guilty of all. What kind of sermons would come out of this pulpit if God held me to perfection as the basis for whether or not he would use me? What kind of bondage would that be? I could never please him. That'd be like trying to keep the law to be right with God. The letter kills. The spirit gives life. Again, God's election of you is with no strings attached, either foreseen or otherwise. Now, this week we've got a big problem, because this week we've got to speculate. No speculation is needed about man's total depravity. But here you've got to get into the mind of God and answer for him. And I've decided I don't like doing that very much. How do we know God didn't look down the corridors of time and know the Apostle Paul was going to be a great believer in Jesus Christ? Or that Judas Iscariot would betray the Son of God, his friend? What does the Bible say about all this? And here's the answer to that question. It's found in the letter of Titus, if you would turn with me, please. Titus, New Testament, Paul's letters. You go 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and it's right after that. I asked the question, how do we know God just didn't look down the corridors of time and see that we're going to be good people and save us and choose us on the basis of knowing the future? Okay, that's the question I pose. We're going to use the word of God like we always do in this church to answer that question. Is that all right, Wayne? Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Actually, verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared... Now look at the first three words of verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Remember the context. The context is your salvation and why God saved you. What an important question. Why does God save me? Right? First three words, verse 5. What are they? Not by works. Again, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Through the washing of regeneration, down in the tub, in the tank, or being born again. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, again, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy he saved us. God doesn't save you because of what you've done or because of your works, but because of his mercy. I like to say, God saved you because he felt like it. How does that work for you? That's the layman's terms, right? Sometimes all my brain can handle is layman's terms. I love you because I felt like it. Does that work for you? No, God, I don't like that. No. Who's going to respond like that? God had mercy on you because he felt like it. Count me in. I'll take it. Thank you for your mercy. When the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, that is, trying to do good, trying to keep the law to be right with God, trying to do all these things, keep all those 513 rules and regulations, sitting at home on Saturday, not burning a calorie on the Sabbath, not eating any pork or shellfish, and keeping the law. Not by works. You cannot be saved by keeping the law because you can't keep the law. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. According to his mercy, he saved us. Here's another. Again, Ephesians 2 and 8. Now, before I read this, some people, Darren, think the object of this sentence is not faith. Some people think it's saved. And it could be. We always look at that as the object as being faith. But, like I said, some scholarly people think it's saved, the object. Let me read it to you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, not speaking of faith, but of your salvation. Everyone with me? That works grammatically too. Sometimes we really are not exactly sure that's the perfect way God is. We don't exactly know which one he meant by that when he says, and that. What's he talking about? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. Again, I can see that meaning that, can't you? Right. They're both right. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that is how you're saved. Not of yourself. You can't save yourself. Not of works. You can't work to get it. Lest anyone should boast. Imagine that. Be all the richest people were the one that would have salvation. The ones with the prestige of the family name would be the ones with salvation. It doesn't work that way. Here's a great statement I read from gotquestions.org. God elects someone to salvation not because of something worthy God finds in him, but because of his inscrutable, mysterious will, period. I love that. Again, God elects someone to salvation not because of something worthy God finds in them, but because of his inscrutable, mysterious will. He makes the choice as to who will be saved for his own reasons, according to his own perfect will and for his own pleasure. And that fact is found in Ephesians 1:4, which reads like this: just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Then it says this: having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Amen. It's the word of God. Unconditional election properly recognizes, apart from God's supernatural work in your life, the life of a sinner. Let me say that again. Apart from God's supernatural work in the life of a sinner, men will always choose to reject God and rebel against him. So unconditional election proves that God has saved you not on the basis of your works or of your future works, but like that last commentator said, because of his inscrutable, mysterious will. Let's look at one more example. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. We've got to look at Romans, right? Romans chapter 9, in my New King James is a heading over verse 6. It says, Israel's rejection and God's purpose. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Paul's trying to explain to them why Israel's fallen away and why God's dealing with us now instead. Verse 6. It is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed will be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as a seed. Bear with him. He's a lawyer. You know why you go into a lawyer's office and goes right over your head sometimes. Even Peter says, I can't understand half of the stuff the guy's talking about. So you're in good company, all right? He's way up here. And we spend our lives climbing to try to get to Paul's mind to understand this. Verse 8. Those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. The children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise, colon.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Hey, this is Darrell Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's modern worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
The Bible says in the book of James, we're to resist the devil and he will flee from us. You're not told to run from him. You're told to fight, not in your strength, but in his strength. Have you ever thought of the devil fleeing from you? Most of us, we've just kind of want to have a standoff. We just say, devil, if you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. But he's not going to leave you alone. And he's not going to leave until you resist him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how can I do that? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I want you